God, we do thank you so much, Lord. Lord, just the church we get to be in. I thank you, Lord, for being able to serve you with our lives. I ask you, please continue to be with our church. Would you bless our pastor now, Lord? We've come here this evening, many right straight after work. And Lord, we've come here because we want to hear something. Lord, would you open our hearts, help us to be observant. And Lord, would you just touch us in a special way today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We're going to start reading in verse number 8 tonight. I am really excited about teaching this to you tonight. You may not be as excited about it as I am, but I'm going to have fun. But I think you'll see some things that may surprise you and may help you. Let me start by saying this. Many in this room have been taught wrongly. You've come from different denominations. You've come from even different types of Baptists that didn't teach things correctly. I'm going to show you exactly from Scripture what Scripture says. Not a matter of opinion, not a matter of a theologian. I didn't find it in a commentary because I don't have one. It's all straight from the Bible, and I want to help you tonight. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse number 8. I'm going to stop along the way every once in a while for you to mark some words. And the Scripture, circle that word, Scripture. Foreseeing, I want you to underline that word. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God, notice the next word, would justify the heathen through faith. Preached before the what? Gospel. Circle that word, gospel, right there. Unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of the faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by what? Faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, look at me very quickly. There are two very wicked and wrong doctrines taught, especially in America today. There's more than that, obviously, but the false doctrine of what I would call dispensationalism. That means that there are different time periods, and God worked through people in different ways. There was a different way to get saved in the time of Genesis before the flood, and then between then and Moses, there was a different way to get saved. And since Moses came, then you got saved by the law. Then you had the intertestamentary times, and people got saved a different way. And then when Jesus was here on earth, people got saved a different way. And now we get saved this way. That's wrong. It is unscriptural, and I'm going to show you how that's wrong. The other is this, and this one I've been on a rampage about for a long time, and I don't plan to stop it. And that is this, calling the Old Testament law and the New Testament grace. That's probably done more to destroy people understanding the harmony of the entire Bible going together. I'm going to show you how both of these are wrong. First of all, by the way, people who believe in this dispensational garbage usually believe that God knows who's going to get saved, so soul winning's not important. They're going to get saved anyway. That's a bunch of garbage. There has never been more than one gospel. Let me say that again. There has never been more than one gospel. All people who ever throughout history have been saved, have been saved by the same gospel. Did you hear what I just said? All right. There were not dispensations of the gospel. Mr. Schofield is a dispensationalist and he's wrong. Now, I'm not saying that Mr. Schofield died and went to hell. I don't know. Never talked to him. If he believes everything that he says in his notes, I would wonder. But that's not for me to judge. That's between him and God. But I will tell you this. God is eternal, correct? Now, hang on. God being eternal means he always has been and he always will be, correct? Now, when God started things off for earth, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want you to notice whatever God created is still going today. Everything that God put in motion is eternal. Day and night doesn't change. Dry land and sea doesn't change, contrary to the climatologists. The tides, the wind cycle, the rain cycles, the water cycle, all those things. We can tell what day of the year it is, what month of the year, by the stars. You can navigate the earth, and they have been for thousands of years, by the stars, because everything happens at the very same time, all the time, because God set it in motion. You don't have a whole bunch of new animals. Now, you can inbreed in different things, and you can get different types of the same type of animal, but they're not coming up with new animals just being created every day. Now, everything that God put in motion is still going. He's eternal. What God starts keeps going. Better than Timex. Amen? Now, I want you to notice something. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. Get back into the book of Hebrews chapter 12. I know there's a couple more books in there, but I don't have time to name them. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Now watch these next words. The what? Author and the
finisher.
Okay, stop right there. Mark those words. He is the author and the finisher of our what?
Faith.
Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When man sinned in Genesis chapter 3, let everybody look at me for a moment. When man sinned in Genesis chapter 3, Jesus authored the plan of salvation. He said, Father, you'll have to destroy man and he'll go to hell with Lucifer, but you love man more than anything other than what's here in heaven. I'd like him to be restored to you for your sake. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go and I'll be born of a virgin. I'll live a sinless life. I'll live their righteousness. I'll pay their sin debt with my blood. I'll die. I'll be buried. And I'll resurrect and conquer sin and death 3 days and three nights later. He said, if I do that, will you accept that from every man that will receive it? He said, I'll do it. He said, put her down, I'm going to do it. And from that moment, Jesus came down. The Bible says that Adam and Eve were found naked. They sewed leaves together and they made aprons, but God made coats of skin. Interesting. To make a coat of skin, you have to kill and skin an animal. There's blood that has to be shed. And as Jesus came down and killed those animals and began to skin them and began to put things together, he explained the gospel to Adam and Eve so that they would get saved. Now watch this. But Jesus didn't pay for the price then. He said, Father, if I do it now, it's not going to work quite right. I don't understand why. I'm not trying to. But he said, out yonder I'm going to. Will you take my word for it? He said, since it's your word, I'll take it. He authored it. He then later came in and finished it. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now watch this. I'm about to shout. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. You were in Galatians. It's just a couple pages over. Ephesians chapter 1. Works better if I'm in the right chapter. Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse number 13. Now, there's a word used here that we look right past. Look at verse number 13. Look at verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. That's salvation, correct? In whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Watch this. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. I believe, Brother Patrick, did y'all close on your house today? Praise the Lord. Now, wait a minute. Several weeks ago, they made an offer on a home. When they did, they had to place some money down on a home, and it's called earnest money. In other words, that money represents their intent to fulfill the contract once all the legal paperwork's done. Today, they signed all the legal paperwork, and the earnest money was applied to the home. Jesus paid for our salvation in the beginning as earnest money. He prepaid. He put her down. He said, God, I'm good for it. Here's my earnest. And when the time comes, I'll pay it full. If you'll trust that I'll do it, everybody between there and here will get saved the same way everybody from there on will get saved. Now go back to Ephesians 1 again. Look at verse number 14. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted. After that you heard the what? Word of truth. Watch this. The gospel. So the word of truth, the Bible, the gospel is your salvation. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. Amen. Now look at me. I'm about to shout. His word and the Holy Spirit was the earnest money on the gospel. He authored it, put the earnest money up and said, I'm coming back to pay it in full. Just take my word for it. I didn't put this in my notes because I had way too much to get done in it. But when you go back and read the story or the account of the Good Samaritan, watch this. He finds someone that's broken and bloodied. He brings them. He fixes them up. He takes money out of his pocket. He tells the innkeeper that, use the money that he leaves, and if anything else is owed, when he comes back, he'd pay it off. That's exactly what Jesus did for our salvation. He paid for it up front, took care of what he could up front, but when he came back through, he paid it in full. Now, Watch this very carefully. Jesus put his word up as earnest money. What is his word? That book right there. The word of truth, your salvation. The gospel of your salvation. That is the word of truth. Now, we're headed somewhere. Hang on. I'm about to shout. The Father knew that Jesus would fulfill his word. And he accepted it as a done deal. Whomever Patrick and his family bought that home from, when the earnest money was put up, it went under contract, and they were expecting them to finish it out. That money was their word that they would fulfill. Make sense to everybody? Hang on. Jesus always keeps his word. Jesus is good about keeping his word because, well, we'll get there. That's why there's only one gospel. That's why Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Look at me very carefully here. If Jesus Christ were not the same, how could people, or if he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, how could there be a different dispensation every so often? Right. How could the gospel change throughout history? Right. He would not be the same because it is the word of truth that is our salvation. Now, hang on. I'm about to go somewhere. Number one, the scripture foresaw the gospel fulfilled. The scripture does not see who will receive it. The scripture foresees the gospel itself. Go back to Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse number 8. Son. Everybody ready? Holler amen real quick. Amen. Because I'm about to have a spell. I might take my boots off and clank them over my head or something. I don't know. And the what?
Scripture.
Everybody look at me. What is the scripture?
God's word.
The word of God, right? So the scripture, the word of God, was foreseeing, right? Go back to John chapter 1. Now I'm about to shout. John chapter 1. Look at verse number 1. In the beginning was the what?
Word.
Oh, the word. Capital W?
Yes.
And the word was with God, and the word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Look at verse 14. And the word was made what?
Flesh.
And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now I want you to notice something. It says, and the scripture foreseeth. The scripture is the word of God, and Jesus is the word of God.
Yes, sir.
It's not talking about necessarily just the written pages. It's talking about Jesus himself. The earnest of our salvation. Go to John chapter 19. I think John chapter 19. I think I meant to say John chapter 19. Hang on here. Yeah, that's it. Is it? Hang on here. That's not what I wanted. I'm not sure what I put there. Hang on. We'll go to something else here. I'm not sure what I did wrong. Somebody probably called me in the middle of that while I was writing it. But I want you to, I know what it is. It's Revelation chapter 19. If I just listen to my gut and the Holy Spirit, maybe it'll come out right. And that's what it is. Revelation chapter 19, look at verse number 19. or verse 9, I'm sorry. And he saith unto me, write. So what are we going to write? Words, right? Blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are true sayings. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and said unto him, see, thou do it. I am thy fellow, and have testimony of Jesus. Worship God for the testimony of Jesus, spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood, and his name is called what?
The Word of God.
That's Jesus, folks. Not only is he the Word of God, but he is the Scripture. The word Scripture means written words. He is the written Word of God. The words of God were written in heaven because Jesus authored them. Then God gave them to man word by word and gave us the Bible. He came and fulfilled it, he authored it, and he finished it for our faith. Now watch this. Scripture does not change. Go back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is doing battle with the devil here on earth. Goes up into a mountain to be tempted of the devil. I want you to notice what is said here. Then Jesus was led of the Spirit of the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered. Notice it said 40 days and 40 nights, not 40 hours. He was really hungry. And when the tempter, matter of fact, he was just about hangry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. Notice the word if. Command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, what's the next three words? Oh, it is written. Where's it written? In the Bible, Scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee. And their hands, they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou douse thy foot against a stone. The devil starts quoting Scripture back at Jesus now. Watch what Jesus says. Jesus saith unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, the glory of them, and he saith unto him, all things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. Behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus needed the words of God to battle Lucifer. They hadn't changed. They aren't different words. The devil tried to use them with a different meaning. He was tempting Jesus. He was changing the meaning of the words. Guess what? Man needs to keep his cotton-picking fingers off the Bible and quit rewriting Bibles and putting God's name to it. That's criminal. Preachers need to quit getting their opinion put in there and telling you what they think it says. No, God's very capable to tell us what he wanted. Jesus authored it. Keep your cotton-picking fingers and opinions to yourself. That's what he said. Go to Revelation chapter 22. I can tell you exactly how God feels about people changing the words of God. Revelation chapter 22, look at verse number 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the what? Words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto the things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written therein, in this book. And if any man shall take away, now notice the wording here. take away from the words. Not take the words away. Take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written in this book. God didn't say just people that take words away. He said those who take the authority of the words away and misappropriate them. When preachers get up and say, well, the Bible's only inspired in its original language, it's no longer inspired, it's just preserved. That's perverted, and that's taking away from the authority of the Word of God, and they're in danger of damning themselves. Everybody doing okay? When preachers get up and say, well, that's what God said, but that's not what he really meant. He meant this. It's no different than the Pope getting up saying he can speak in the place of God, ex cathedra. We're not to take away from the authority of the words of the book of this prophecy. Not just take the words away. Well, we want an easier one to understand. No, you need to get saved to get the Holy Spirit, and he'll teach you, and get underneath a loudmouth, fundamental, independent Baptist preacher to teach it to you. He'll do it. Every time. By the way, you say, preacher, how do you know the Bible you hold in your hands is the Word of God? I already preached on that a few weeks ago. Go listen to it. If you doubt me, I've given 44 years of preaching to it. I've studied it for more hours than most of you have even worked your jobs. I wouldn't give my life to a lie. I've seen God change lives. There's never been a major revival preached anywhere in the world outside the King James Bible. It is the only one communist countries won't allow in. They'll let all the other perversions in. You say, why? Because those aren't Bibles, those are man's words.
Right.
Even communists have better sense. I'm going to say it. Be careful even with your kids' Bibles. Many of the children's Bibles are perversions with pictures that aren't even biblical. I know I'm going to get myself in trouble. But it's just stories, preacher. No, these are the words of God. These aren't just stories. They're the authored and finished words of God. Can I tell you why young people go through churches and is all they know is Bible stories? Because nobody will teach them truth. They just want to teach them stories. Well, bless God, at Grace Baptist Church, we're going to teach them truth, not just a story. You need more than a story. You need truth.
Yes, sir.
You need to be able to use truth and reason and logic through problems in life and understand. And just knowing a story in the Bible isn't going to help you. God said it, that settles it. Just as much as creation was settled with everything that God did. Now I must hurry. I have two more points. Number two, the gospel has always been received by faith and never by the law. The gospel has always been received by faith and never gotten by the law. Turn to Galatians chapter 3 again, right where we started. Look at verse number 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with what? Faithful Abraham. Now look at me. Abraham was before Moses. Abraham was over 500 years before Moses. There was no Mosaic law, quote unquote, at the time of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Joseph was the one who was sold into slavery in Egypt and delivered his brethren. And they stayed for 400 and some years. It was because of Joseph's Isaac and them moving their family and Joseph protecting them, they never left Egypt. That's why they had to wander in the wilderness to get back to their promised land, because they got satisfied in Egypt and God said it's time to go back and settle the land of Canaan. Am I doing okay? I want you to understand, Abraham was well over 500 years before Moses. And God said, blessed be faithful Abraham. By faith, Abraham. Keep reading with me, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, curse everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Look at me. God said nobody is justified by the law in the sight of God. Watch this. It is evident. The just shall live by what?
Faith.
By the law? By what?
Faith.
And the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus became the curse of the law so that we by faith could get saved. By the way, so that Abraham could get saved. Now, look at Galatians chapter 2 real quickly. Look at verse number 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even when we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Does that not say the same thing several times again? But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Watch this. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If we could get saved, by the way, if anybody in history could have gotten saved by the law, then Jesus Christ coming and dying for our sins and paying our sin debt, God said, if man could get justified by the law, Jesus Christ's death is vain. It's worthless. That's in any quote unquote time period, dispensation. Everybody doing okay? The Old Testament, therefore, was not law, and the New Testament is not grace. It is the same gospel that saved everybody from Adam to the last person that got saved today.
Yes, sir.
Say, well, what's the difference, preacher? Jesus paid for it back in Genesis chapter 3. He put the earnest money down, and they looked ahead to what Jesus would do. Once he paid for it, we in the New Testament look back at what he did do. That's the only difference. It is the angle from which we are looking at, but it was the same gospel all the way through. Everybody doing okay? You doubt me? Hebrews chapter 11. Turn there very quickly. Hebrews chapter 11. Quickly, quickly. If you're not there, just look at whatever page intelligently and nobody will know. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Oh, that's why heathen man doesn't want to believe in creation because it's by the word of God. So that the things which are seen are not made things which do appear. Now, look, isn't it interesting? Look at verse number 4. By faith, Abel. Was Abel before the law?
Yes.
Abel was Adam and Eve's child. That was the one that Cain killed. And God said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. Abel's faith caused Abel to go to heaven. By faith, he received righteousness. That's what it says. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Look at verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him.
That's right.
Enoch was before the flood. That was pre-Noah. And people were getting saved by faith. Verse 7, by faith Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. I'm not going to go through each verse, but you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph were all saved by faith before Moses is ever mentioned and what people call the law. So Hebrews chapter 11 is about people before there was a law. And God said they were getting saved by faith. It also says Moses was saved by faith. And every person thereafter was saved by faith. Don't read it now, read it later. That's what Galatians is all about, what we just read in Galatians chapter 2, being that we are saved by faith. We are not justified by works, but by faith, in the faith of Jesus Christ. I've said this often. Go back to Romans chapter 12, very quickly. Romans chapter 12. I have a friend in internet world that will write me another nasty email. I'll save you the time. I'm not going to read it. Revelation chapter 12, look at verse number 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the what? Measure of. Look at me. God has put into every human being who has ever breathed a breath on earth a measure of faith necessary to get saved. That's what Ephesians 2:8-9 is all about. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that is a relative pronoun renaming the previous noun. And that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You don't even have enough faith to get saved. God even has to provide the faith for every human to get saved.
Yes,
people all over the world, I don't care where they're at, worship something. Even if it's themselves. Man has a God-given faith put in him. Well, I don't trust anything that I can't see, so I'm just going to trust me. Okay, you make a lousy God, but that's what your faith is. God even had to give us the faith necessary to get saved. That's why in Galatians it said we're not saved by our faith, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. He even had to give us the faith necessary to get saved. By the way, it's been that way since Adam. Now, I got to hurry here. Whew, so much I want to say. Number 3, God's promise to Abraham was to be a nation, not a religion. But I want you to notice something. Go back to Galatians chapter 3 while I'm talking. God prepaid the gospel. He put his earnest money, Jesus did, and said, "Father, I will go. Take my word." Jesus did come. He authored the plan of salvation. He fulfilled it. And in Galatians chapter 3, look at verse number 8 again. "And the scripture," which is Jesus, the word of God, right? "Foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through what? Faith. Preached before the gospel unto Abraham." Huh. The gospel was being preached to Abraham and before. But Abraham is the father of Israel. Yeah, because everybody in the Hebrew nation was to be saved. I've said this before. God promised Abraham to be a nation, not a religion. Hebrew or Israeli is a nation. Jewish is a religion. Two separate things. I'm an American. Amen. If you're an American, shout amen.
Amen.
And we ought to. But that doesn't mean everybody in America is a Christian. Just because you're American doesn't make you Baptist. No more than just because you are Hebrew or Israeli does it make you Jewish. If that's the case, listen to me very carefully. If I succeed, somebody in Radio Land is going to be really mad at me. If that's the case, then Jesus, or then God started a false religion. Because Judaism has never been right. Because it's all been about traditions and laws, not about by grace through faith. Never one time. "Well, Jesus was a Jew." No, he wasn't. He was a Hebrew. You never see Jesus participating in any Jewish tradition except one, hours before his death, and he changed it from Passover to Lord's Supper. You never see, they went back and paid their taxes. He wasn't participating in Jewish traditions. It was the Jewish leadership and religion that killed Jesus. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
God never promised to bless the Jews. He promised to bless the Hebrew nation and the Israelite nation. My son's sitting less than 40 miles from the Israeli border in Jordan right now. And just a couple months ago, there was a couple hundred missiles that went overhead, and they shot them all out of the sky but two. God was protecting Israel. The two they didn't get, Israel got. They're not protecting a religion, they're protecting a nation. God promised Abraham to be a nation. Look at Hebrews or Galatians 3 again. Look at towards the end of verse 8 again. "Before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all" what? Religions be blessed? Nations be blessed. He's talking about a nation of people, not a religion of people. By the way, you'll never see the word Jew used until after the Babylonian captivity. Wasn't even a word used in the Bible until they perverted it. There were no traditions or ceremonies required by faith for justification. You don't have to keep any tradition other than receive by faith the gospel. And that's not a tradition. God needed to start a nation to track the line of people so that Jesus could be king and sit on the throne in Jerusalem. That is why the Hebrew nation began. I'm going to make this statement and then I'm going to close the message. God did not keep changing his mind as the ages changed. The gospel has not changed. Man wants his own ideas, his own ceremonies, his own traditions, and adds it to it and takes things away. That is religion, but it's not godly. God never changed his mind all the way through. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm for supporting Israel. 100%. And anybody that's not, you need your head fixed because you need to read the book. I think I told Brother Anthony today, I wished I was a cartoonist. I have a good cartoon for the Democratic Party right now. I would have President Trump on the east side of the Red Sea and the Democrat army coming through as the hands go this way. Because all the wheels are falling off the chariots right now and they're running in fear. That would be a pretty good cartoon, I think. Well, let me say this. God didn't keep changing his mind how people should get saved. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, forever. The scripture foreseeing. What did the scripture foresee? The fulfillment of the gospel. Because Jesus was the earnest, the author and finisher of it. For God to be just, which he is, he had to make the gospel the same for everybody. God could not maintain justice if he had to get saved differently than she had to get saved. There would be no justice to it. Eternal life would not be fair if everyone got it a different way. There is no justice in different gospels. Everybody doing okay? The gospel is the only way one gets saved. It's not a church. It's not a feeling. It's not a tradition. It's not a ceremony. It is by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior in obedience to the gospel and the Word of God. Anything other than that is man's works. And it's wrong. The gospel has never changed. It's been the same since Adam. Jesus put his words and as his earnest money and said, Father, here it is. I'll pay for it. I'm going to prepay for it. But I'll go eventually and pay the whole thing off. But here's my earnest money for it. Let's get them saved. All the way through. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It's 8:01. I'm done. Maybe we ought to realize how important the Bible is and how important our salvation is. And realize everybody in Scripture got saved the same way you had to. Everyone throughout history gets saved the same way, or they didn't get saved. As Brother Randy begins to play, let's stand our feet. Would you come?